I don't know about the rest of y'all, but that pretty much said it for me. God's been faithful. How many of you, by the raising of your hands and by the clapping of your hands, will testify right now, oh, magnify the Lord with me, that God has been faithful through everything, highs and lows, ups and downs, times that you failed him, times where you're going through a storm. Give the Lord a great hand clap of praise and a shout of triumph, a shout of triumph. It's very interesting as I'm getting a little bit older. I didn't want to say a lot older. Some would think it's a lot older, but as I get a little bit older, I find it interesting that life does tend to come full circle. And as I was getting prepared this morning, got up, and my mind went back into 1989, the first time I had the privilege, or 1990, to have the privilege of coming and preaching at Alabaster Church of God. My mind went back to the pleasant memories and the wonderful services that we've experienced over the years with Brother Massey and Brother Barnes and now Pat Bishop Stroop. And I thought about some of the people in this room, and some of you, I've been privileged to call you my friend for almost 30 years now. And the impact you've made on my life and what you've done for me and my family is a debt that I could never repay. But I want you to know that I love you, and I am so grateful for everything you've done for me, and I'm thankful that God's allowed me the privilege to come back and serve you this week. I have not come to be served, but I have come to serve, and I believe that God is going to give us a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire this week. I believe that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is going to quicken us also. Not just for the resurrection, although I believe the rapture could be any time, but I believe God is going to resurrect some dead dreams. I believe God's going to resurrect some lost loved ones. I believe God's going to resurrect some healings in our body. I believe that God's about to turn the next page of our life, and I believe we're going to see more miracles in the last few years before the rapture than the entire church has seen through all of its history. I believe the rest is going to be the best. How many of you believe this morning that the rest of your life is going to be the best of your life? I believe that with all my heart. I've got a word from the Lord this morning, and the message for Friday night, it's imperative that you get the word out. I haven't wrote it yet. I've preached on healing I don't know how many times, but this healing message has stirred me because God has given me some rhemas in there that I've never seen before that may be hindering you or I from receiving our total healing. How many would like to be made totally whole, body, soul, and spirit? And if you are one of those fortunate people, and you would be very fortunate, that doesn't have some type of ailment in your body, that doesn't have a dear, close loved one that's sick, you are a very blessed person. But if you are that person, we certainly need you in service that night, because the Bible said if there's any sick amongst us, let us call for the elders of the church. So obviously, if you're totally healthy, you know how to pray the prayer of faith for healing, and we need you in this service to help us pray for folks. But this morning, I've got a message from the Master. You are a chosen people. You're a chosen bishop, you're a chosen church for an hour such as this. God said to Esther, when Israel was facing total annihilation, God said to Esther, he said, for an hour such as this, I have rose you up. Don't think that you've had the favor with the king and you've had favor in the king's house. Don't think that was just for you, because if you think it was just for you to be blessed, then you're going to get the bad things that's going to happen to Israel going to happen to you also. But if you'll rise up to the occasion, not only will God use you, but he'll save your people and he'll drive the enemy and destroy the enemy. How many want to see the enemy destroyed? Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that of all the evangelists that you could have sent to this church this week, you have given me the privilege to come here. And I ask, Lord God, for a special anointing, because I have a task this morning of cutting asunder the soul and the spirit, the very discerning in the heart. And God, a very heavy message is going to be given to your children this morning, a message that we've got to respond to. The nation is counting on us. The world is counting on us. The body of Christ to raise up like a mighty army. Now, Father God, I pray that you would anoint my head with oil till my cup overflows, and that when I lay hands on people, that you would anoint them, empower them to receive the breakthrough that they've been waiting on. I ask this favor in the name of Jesus, and everybody said amen and amen. And before I bring this message, I'm very excited about the fact that the first two rows of people are teenagers and young adults. Aren't you grateful for a group of young people on fire for God? And I'm deeply moved when I look at them, because right now our world and our country is in a very terrible dilemma. We are at war. I'm not being political, but you'd have to be blind not to recognize that we are at war. And the kind of world, should the Lord tarry, I'm concerned about the kind of world that we're going to give you, the next generation, the now generation. So this message is deeply moving me. And as I begin to seek God about this camp meeting, I have for several months now. I don't wait till I get to a church to start praying about that revival. I start praying months in advance. And God spoke to me, and I didn't realize just how bad things were going to get and how quickly things were going to go bad in this world and all the terrorist threats. And I was on an airplane flying back from Cincinnati, Ohio, and my flight just so happened to be September the 11th, and every plane we got on was just about half full. They weren't packed out. The airports were pretty empty. But let me tell you something. If God starts protecting the country, if God rises up, there's not enough terrorists from hell to hurt a country that God's protecting. If God's people will turn to God. And I began to seek the Lord, and the Lord said to me that all we need as an individual and as a church, if we get a rhema word from God, I'm not just talking about a spoken word. That's important. And I'm a strong believer in studying that Bible. But I believe as we read the Bible and apply it to our life, it works like a seed. But the rhema word from God is the word from God in season for that very moment that you're in. And if America has ever needed to get a rhema word from God, we need it now. And if you get a rhema word from God and you do what God tells you to do, it's going to work. And it don't matter how bad things are. It doesn't matter how bad the economy is. It doesn't matter how much the devil threatens. There could be 200 billion Muslims that want to destroy America. If God be for us, nobody can be against us. If God protects this country. So God has given me a word, and God always chooses people. This church has the ability to change the history of this nation. You have been chosen by God. And God spoke to me about this message. And if you'll bear with me this morning, it's kind of hoiky-joiky. I called Pastor, and man, it is so good to see Bishop Stroop and my favorite first lady on the planet Earth. Aren't you glad that you got a pastor and a first lady that aren't ashamed of the Word of God? They're not ashamed of the full counsel of God's Word. They're not ashamed of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And God began to speak to me that what he's going to do this week is that he is going to resurrect some dead visions. God's going to resurrect some things that he spoke into your heart years ago. There are some people in this room, I don't know who you are, but you've got a child or a grandchild that's in serious, serious bondage. But God spoke to you about them when they were just first born and little babies, and God has not changed. His plans for them has not changed. God is able to save them from the uttermost to the guttermost, and God's going to revisit some things, and God's going to have us redig some wells. We're going to visit some ancient landmarks, and God is going to bring life back into some things that appear to be dead. God's going to raise up a mighty army in these last days, and we're going to go across this land bringing home the backslider, winning the loss while there's yet time. I'm here to tell you from the Almighty that the greatest revival, the greatest awakening in the history of the planet Earth is about to take place for those that are hungry, for those that are thirsty. Are you hungry for a move of God? Are you thirsty for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? And Sister Billy, I was praying. I thought about you, been my friend for many, many years. And as I was praying, Brother Stroop, I asked God something. This sounds a little silly, but I said, God, especially when you've been evangelizing for 35 years, such as I've had the privilege, I said, God, what is it going to take to have real Holy Ghost revival in America and the world? And the answer was so simple, and it kind of threw me back to how simply God answered it. He said, son, it's going to take the Holy Ghost to have a real Holy Ghost revival. He says it's going to take the Holy Ghost and a rhema word working together, producing the supernatural. How many of you believe right now that God can touch something that's dead and bring it back to life? How many believe that right now that God can raise this church up and send this church as a mighty army across the United States of America? This morning, I'm going to preach part one of a mighty army. Tonight, part two, you do not want to miss Monday night service, because I have a rhema from God that's going to turn our nation upside right. Not because of a man, not because of a group of men and women, but because God is God, and he still works through people. He still does mighty works for those that will respond to his word. So in Ezekiel, we're going to start out in Ezekiel chapter 1, beginning with voice number 1. Ezekiel, when you read the book of Ezekiel, it's got to be one of the saddest, but also one of the most hopeful books in the entire Bible. As we get to the end of Ezekiel, you have the restoration of Israel. You have the rapture of the church. You have the millennial reign. So although at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, it's a very sad book. And the reason why it's so sad is it follows Isaiah. And he said, sad because it follows Isaiah? Yeah. It's sad because it follows Jeremiah. It's sad because it's the conclusion of Lamentations. The prophet Isaiah was warning Israel to repent of their backsliding, to turn back to God with all their heart. Even gives us some of the greatest prophecies about Jesus, the Messiah, details on how he would die, details about his ministry. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Warns the people to repent of their sins and repent of their backsliding. Obviously, they don't do that. And then we get the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, preaches his entire ministry in tears, pleading with people to repent and turn back to God while there's yet time. And he makes awesome promises in that book about those that will turn to God. But apparently most of the nation did not turn to God, because by the time you get to the book of Ezekiel, Israel has been conquered. Israel has been destroyed. The king has been taken prisoner. Now the prophet Ezekiel has not been taken prisoner, but he is amongst the captives, and he's preaching from a man that somehow is amongst the captives, but he's not in bondage. Do you understand, saints of God, that no matter how much bondage this country's in, and make no mistake about it, it's in spiritual bondage because of Jesus in your life, because of Jesus in my life. We're amongst them, but we're not in bondage with them, because we've been set free by Jesus Christ. I said, we've been set free. Now, this hoiky-joiking is kind of prophetic in nature. So that lays the foundation of what Ezekiel is about to say. He is sitting amongst the captive. He is wondering what in the world has happened to his country, Israel. He's wondered what happened. And let me say this, and I want to say this. There is localized judgment that has already started in this nation. And if this nation does not repent, it's going to spread and it's going to get worse. Right now, it's a warning, but soon it could be as bad. And make no mistake about it, saints, I believe with all my heart that it's not going to happen till after the rapture, if the churches of America will respond. But America is not mentioned one time in prophecy after the rapture. The United States is not mentioned, so either we're going to be so weak that we're not a player anymore, or perhaps we won't even exist anymore. What I'm trying to say, I know, if God's people will respond, this will not happen till after the rapture of the church. Guys, we are perilously close from losing the blessings of God and entering as a nation into the judgment of God. And God is calling this church and a handful of churches like it to bring this nation, to save it from destruction. Would somebody give that's how important this revival is. This is a nationwide event. Brother Stroop, I don't know what you've been preaching, but there's some folks saying, Brother Stroop, he's just been negative and he's been preaching too hard and he's stepping on too many toes, and if he'll just lighten up a little bit, it won't offend people. But Brother Stroop, you've got to preach it, because there's got to be a wake-up call in America, and it's not going to happen on Fox, and it's not going to happen on CNN, and I hope there is a major turnover at the next election, and I hope conservatives do get back into control a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something, no party can save this nation. The only thing that can save this nation from destruction is God. The only thing that can save this nation is a Holy Ghost revival. Now bear with me. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month. I'm saying something here. That date right there was important for them. It's not all that important for us, in the sense that we don't live thousands of years ago. But I want to point out there are times in God that God will address his people at a precise moment for a precise thing for a particular time in history. And this revival is one of those times. And he says, as I was amongst the captives by the river Chebar. In other words, Ezekiel the prophet, Israel has been destroyed. The king has been taken prisoner. There's all these captives just sitting there, kind of like, refugees, if you please. And here sits the prophet right in the middle of them, looking around at what's going on in the country. And then he said, and I was amongst the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open. While I sat there amongst all these people that have lost their freedom, their children have been taken into slavery, no doubt their daughters have been brutalized, the things that happen, have you seen how they do things over in the Middle East? There are barbaric people, they have no mercy, they have no idea what mercy is. So when they were captives, there's no doubt their families were being brutalized. Saints of God, losing is not an option. Do you hear what I'm saying? Losing is not an option. Listen to what it says. He says, as I was amongst the captives, I wasn't one of the captives because I was free in God, because I was living for God, but I was amongst the captives. And he said, while I was amongst the captives by the river Chebar, saints of God, it don't get much worse than your nation being destroyed. Let it be like the president being taken captive. There's no telling. They've lost their homes. They lost everything they have. It don't get much worse. But there was an answer, that the heavens were open and I saw a vision of God. Back in 2012, through a series of events, God allowed me the privilege, and I'm saying this only so you know where this is coming from. I do not like to talk about my life in my private prayer life. The Bible says what we do in secret, God will reward openly. But as a minister of the gospel, there are times that I'm not allowed the same privilege of privacy that you are. I had to share some of my private experiences in order to minister to you. In 2012, God made it possible for me to fast 120 days. I did not fast 120 days at one time. The longest fast I did in that 120 days was a 40-day fast. I did another 21-day fast by the grace and power of God, because a man can't do that without God's power. I'm going somewhere. On the 39th day of that fast, on the 38th day, I kept a prayer journal. On the 38th day of that 40-day fast, I called Dr. T.L. Lowry in Cleveland, Tennessee. You can call him and ask him if this took place. And I said, Dr. Lowry, I just know something is about to happen. I've been writing messages. I've been hearing from God. I'm in a place of soul total peace. Everything in my life should have said I should be losing my mind, but I'm in a place of complete peace. But Brother Lowry, you've done this before many times. Tell me what's about to happen. I don't know what's about to happen, but tell me, man of God, what's about to happen to me. Miami. How many of you ever heard of Dr. T.L. Lowry? And he said to me, and his voice got kind of, and if you know him, he doesn't cry real easy. When you talk to him on the phone, and he started to cry, he said, son, he's been my spiritual father since 1994. He became my mentor. He said, son, you are about to have a vision, and God's going to show you a vision of what's going to be the main thrust of your ministry till the rapture of the church. On the next day, the 39th day of that fast, I had a vision. And in that vision, I've had very few visions. I don't have to have visions to believe God's word. But if you read the Bible, God did direct the church with visions and with dreams. And I had a vision. And in that vision, God showed me 7 hot spots that would be chosen by him to host the glory of God. And as they hosted the glory of God, it would require a lot of effort. It would demand a lot of them. But as they host the glory of God, because they were hosting God's glory, revival would begin to spread across the United States of America. And God spoke to me that if the churches would do this, receive this rhema, and pay the price, that those that host the glory of God would be rewarded greatly in heaven with rewards that not everybody's going to get, only those that host the glory of God. But this, Sister Frieda, is what really shook me up. He said those 7 locations that were chosen by God to host the glory of God would save the United States from destruction and total annihilation. God said America is backslid. They have offended me. They are an affront to me because of the things that they have done and that they have connected themselves with. But if my churches in these 7 places would host the glory of God, that glory would spread and true Holy Ghost revival with the full counsel of God's word would break out in the United States of America. Now here's the thing, saints. All 7 of those churches were located in the southern part of the United States of America. And it said, and this is what God spoke to me. And God said, they lost the Civil War because of circumstances. But he said, it'll be the southern states that will turn to God and will save and win this war. And they'll win the spiritual war. And they'll save America from total destruction. And God showed me. And one of the 7 locations was the state of Alabama. From central Alabama northwards, that they would be, I could see the burning fire. God's telling me to tell you that you're one of the churches that he's calling to host the glory of God. I'm not going to pretend, yes, give the Lord a hand clap. I'm not going to pretend it's going to be easy. That's why the warfare has been so intense. I'm not going to pretend like it's going to be an easy task. It's not an easy task to host the glory of God. We'll be called to a higher standard than other Christians, including all of us, to a higher standard. But the rewards are beyond anything you could ever imagine. So although America is in bondage because of backsliding, America is losing the favor of God because of backsliding. Our nation is in bondage. Look at the drug addicts. Look at the murders. Look at the crime. Look at states legalizing pot for recreational use all across our country. But there is a remnant that are standing in the midst of those that are in bondage. And God is speaking to us a message that can save this nation. God. So this message was birthed on that 39th day as I saw that vision. Now notice voice number 2. And in the 5th day of the month, which is a 15th year of, I can't say the word properly, but it was the king's captivity. Notice the next, I could say it, but it would come out funny. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi. In the land of the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans were horribly, horribly barbaric people, much like this Islam people are, this horrible terrorist group. You say, oh, Brother John, most Muslims aren't radicals like that. You're right. Only 28% of Muslims are radical, where they say the West must be annihilated and Israel must be destroyed. However, there's 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. That means there's 400 million people that got their minds made up that the United States needs to be destroyed and Israel needs to be destroyed. Make no mistake about it. We're at war. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And the word of the Lord came expressly. That word expressly means to appoint. in the Hebrew, I'm giving you the Hebrew definition because the English just doesn't do it justice. It means to appoint. It means to bid. It means to call. It means to challenge. It means to change. It means to command. It means to declare. It means to publish. So in other words, these words I'm about to speak, this isn't my message. This is God's message. And God's saying, I want you to declare. I want you to challenge. I want you to pronounce change to the body of Christ. Would somebody shout hallelujah? And the word of the Lord came expressly on Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was upon me. I'm not preaching this because it's the popular way to start a revival. I've been doing this a long time. When you start revival, Jane, Mom, you're supposed to preach shouting messages, but America's in trouble. We need to shout the shout of victory, but we don't need to shout the shout of victory until we've got the victory. We've got to turn this nation back. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now, I know it's hoiky-joiky, but please, please, you're being very kind. Bear with me. Notice, if you please, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 5. I know it's kind of hoiky-joiky, but I've heard how many want to hear the answer from God. How many believe that the only hope? How many are concerned about this country? Guys, what kind of country are we going to get this generation of young people? This is the first generation of Americans ever in the history of this country that if things do not change, they're going to have less than their parents had, not more. That's the first generation of Americans. Oh, are you hearing what I'm trying to say? I'm preaching it for us, but I'm preaching it for their survival. We've the only hope this nation has. I said the only hope. One party or the other ain't going to change America. We've got to have a Holy Ghost revival. God's the only hope. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou find that thou findest. Eat this the word and go speak unto the house of Israel. Now, I want you to see something here. Guys, we are what we eat. You notice I am what I eat. If you eat protein, you get muscle. You eat fat, you get fat stuff. If you eat too much cholesterol, you get a heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's saying it's time for the ministers of America and the churches of America to get a hold of that word, eat that word, devour that word. And as we consume that word, we're going to become what we eat. Would somebody shout hallelujah? This message ain't something I thought up. This is something that God had me devour. It's like a fire shut up in my bone. No. Notice the next voice. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat the roll. Voice number three. I'm trying to show you. This is a word that God placed in me during that 40-day fast. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I will give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Notice verse 4. And he said unto me, son of man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel. That was the spiritual people of the day. That was the church of the day. I'm not sending you right now to go proclaim this, although I'm going to India in February, and I'm going to get to preach in soccer stadiums to 100,000 people a night. That's what I've been told by the overseer of India. But right now, this week, I'm not going to India. I'm here in Alabama. And he said, I want you to go to my church because the answer isn't in the world. The answer is in my church. If my people, which are called by my name, he said unto me, son of man, go get thee into the house of Israel. Speak with the words. Speak with my words unto them. My word, I can't preach this to you until I devour this. When I'm preaching to you right now, it may not be shouting stuff, but this is coming out of my belly. I've eaten this thing. I've consumed it. I'm driven by it. And I'm telling you, it's not too late for this country, but we've got to act quickly because we're perilously close to entering into the judgment of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Saints of God, for thou art not sent to the people of a strange speech, people who wouldn't understand what you're preaching about. I'm not sending you to people that don't believe the Bible. I'm sending you to people that are Bible believers. Let me tell you why America is in trouble. We have broken our covenant with God. There are sins that are sins against the righteousness of God, and there are sins that are direct breaking of the covenant with God. Not that God cannot forgive this, but it's a huge, huge difference. And the sad truth is many churches in America are lining themselves up with the breaking of this covenant. For example, gay marriage is an attack against the covenant of God. Marriage was not something that man thought up to have a nice ceremony to give out gifts and make everything legal. The marriage was God's plan. A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Gay marriage is an attack against the covenant of God about marriage. Marriage was so important to God that it was a part of the God patterned the church after the marriage. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? So gay marriage is bringing localized judgment on this land because it is a direct attack against the covenant of God. Secondly, abortion is an attack against the covenant of God. He said, be fruitful and multiply. You say, well, Brother John, that's kind of obscure. What if someone just chooses that they don't want to have children? That's their choice. But how about this one? That's part of the covenant. Thou shalt not kill. That is part of the covenant. And America is breaking the covenant, and there are churches. Guys, I talked to Pentecostal preachers who told me that they were going to go ahead and vote for pro-abortion candidates because they said abortion was not the only issue. It may not have been the only issue, but if you were the baby that was about to be murdered, it would have been the most important issue to you. Saints of God, if you've had the horrible experience of being involved an abortion sometime in your past, I'm not condemning you. What God's forgiven is under the blood. God don't even remember it. It's in a sea of forgiveness, never to be bought up again. But if you suffered that tragedy, you should be the one that should stand up the most and say, there is another option, and abortion is not the, oh, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. In Israel, we're breaking our covenant with Israel. God's word says that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God's word said, those that bless Israel, I will bless. Those that curse Abraham's seed, I will curse. You say, well, Brother John, we're all Abraham's seed now, so that don't really matter. That's wrong too, because you read the book of Zechariah, you read the revelation after the rapture of the church, who is God dealing with? He's dealing with Israel. Israel will always be God's people, and those that bless God's people, I'm going to bless. God's blessed America because we protected Israel and we broke the covenant. Are you hearing me? But it's not too late. So he said, go to the house of my people, tell them what's wrong with the country, tell them why the things are falling apart, and they can salve it by having Holy Ghost revival. Somebody shout hallelujah. Now listen, guys, I didn't write this. God said, take my word, eat it, and have the courage to preach it. This isn't my word, this is God's word. Everybody raise your hand right now. How many of you got a loved one that's in backslidden? How many of you got a loved one that's away from God? How would you like to hear a message this morning that if you'll do your part, God promises you to save your loved one. God promises you to deliver them. God promises you to show them. How many would like to see God bless America again? How many would like to see God show mercy on this country? How many believe that America needs to repent? And the churches of America that have aligned themselves with these things, which are a direct breaking of the covenant with God, they need to repent also. We're surrounded by churches that are eaten up with apathy, seeker-friendly, trying to please people when our job isn't to please people. Our job is to please God. Our job is to witness to people. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 3, voice number 11, and go therefore and go get thee to them of the captivity, to them of the captivity. Go to the people that are, guys, how many can see that America's in bondage? And unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God. Whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, some of them are going to respond, some are not. You're going to go to churches right now that have Pentecostal over the door, but they don't allow people to speak in tongues in their service. You can go to churches right now and you mention the word rapture and they'll tell you you can't come back and preach there because they don't allow people to mention anything negative, and the rapture's negative. You mention heaven and hell, you mention the word sin, you'll not be allowed to preach there. But God told me, when you eat my word, you got no choice. But you're going to preach what's inside of you. You're going to preach what's, oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Now notice the next verse. And the Spirit took me up. Guys, I'm not shouting, but tonight we're going to be shouting. I'm not shouting right now. but I'm under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will sometimes take you up and you'll shout and dance and see the miraculous. And there's other times the Holy Ghost will get a hold of you to say the things that need to be said to turn this nation around. And that's the same, just as powerful as the Holy Ghost making you shout and dance all over the building. Let me tell you something, saints of God, we have got to change our actions. Preach, teaching changes thinking. Thinking changes actions, and actions is what will change this nation. This nation's in trouble because the churches stopped preaching, thus saith the Lord. And the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from this place. How many want God's glory to come into this place? How many want God's glory to come into this house? How many want to see? Now notice the next voice. And I heard therefore, or it is next, I heard also the noise of wings of living creatures that touch one another. That word touch literally means kiss. And the noise of the wheels over against them. And the noise of the great rushing. I could preach on that, but that's not the thrust of the message this morning. Voice 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. This man, my heart was grieved. I take no joy. I take no joy in seeing the terrorist threats. I take no joy in seeing the economy as it is. I take no joy. I'm not up here saying, well, I told you so. I'm up here saying that, saints of God, I have a bitterness in my heart that America is backslid, and the only way it's going to get right with God is the churches have got to stand up and say, this is why the judgment has come. But it's not too late. We serve a God of mercy. We serve a God of grace. And so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness into the heat of my spirit. It was like a fire shut up in my bones, and the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. That word strong there, saints of God, means powerful. It means heavy. It means to wax louder, and it means to get louder and louder, stronger for a purpose, to seize, to be strong, to be courageous, to strengthen, to cure, to help, repair, and to fortify. To preach what I'm preaching right now, I could not do it without the hand of God being upon me. I've got to have the courage of God to do it. I'm not passing judgment. I'm a man saved by grace just like everyone else. I have failed God, and I'm standing here tonight because of the mercy and the grace of God. I'm not condemning anybody, but godly sorrow worketh repentance. America needs to repent, and it starts at the house of God. When the church begins to repent for the nation, then a spirit of repentance will come upon the land, and all of us, oh, somebody, every great revival throughout history, every single great revival started with repentance, and it started with churches praying for repentance, praying for God to bring godly sorrow upon the land. Saints of God, it's time for a Holy Ghost revival. Yes, it will result in the miraculous. Yes, it will result in great joy. Yes, it will result in miracles, but it always starts out in a state of repenting. America needs to go to her knees and repent before circumstances drives her to her knees. And thank you. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in the bitterness, and the heart of my spirit by the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Notice verse 15. Then I came to the captivity of Telabib, and that dwelt by the river Chebar. And I sat, and where they sat, I sat amongst those in bondage and remained there astonished among them 7 days. He sat there looking around at his nation, looking around at all these people in bondage, and he's wondering, what's went wrong? What's wrong with America? Saints of God, I've been watching, and I've been saying, how in the world could America, that once was just a few years ago, we were in Brownsville. We're the product of Azusa Street. We're the nation that was one nation under God. How in the world did we end up in a mess like this? How in the world are we so messed up that right is called wrong and wrong is called right, that there's no sense of justice? No. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say, saints of God? I'm telling you, that word astonished. I sat there amongst them astonished for 7 days. We got a 7-day revival. It's up to you and it's up to me. God is calling this church. Many are called, but few are chosen. If you'll answer the call, God's going to give us the privilege of hosting. hosting the glory of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. How many want to be used by God to host his glory? But that word astonished, it's important because the English just does not do it justice. It means to be stunned. It means to be devastated. It means to be amazed. It means to be in astonishment. It means to be destitute. It means to be destroyed. It means to be laid at waste. It means to wonder what happened. I'm sitting around and I'm looking at our country that just a few years ago was the most prosperous, most blessed country on the planet Earth. Now we got $18 trillion in debt. I'm looking at a country that just in the last 8 years went from $1.50 a gallon of gas to over $3. I'm not blaming it on one man. The one man's not the problem. The problem is how can somebody that was that godless end up there in the first place? They had to be put there by people who, if Christians would have voted their morals, they could. Guys, lave at me. I can't stand up here and apologize for saying that I'm pro-life. I won't do it. I can't stand up here. I don't hate homosexuals. I love them, and I want to see them saved. But I'm not going to stand up here and say God doesn't care about the issue of gay marriage, because if I do that, then I'm just as guilty as the, oh, somebody shout, I'm just... If the time has come for us to get so devastated about the condition of our country to say, God, I'll give you the next 6 nights of my life. How many want to see this nation saved from destruction? How many know that if we don't stop doing the stuff we're doing, it's going to bring the judgment of God, but it's not too late, but we are perilously close. God's asking you right now, will you give me the next 6 nights of your life to turn this country upside right by the power of God? I'm hurrying, saints, and I know it's hoiky-joiky. And then notice voice 16. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came upon me, saying, this is what matters. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. I am not the Lord. I am simply a watchman, a guard. The word watchman means to lean forward. It means to peer off into the distance or the future. It means to observe. It means to await. It means to behold. It means to keep your eyes. It means to watch and pray. God's saying, son, I want you to be a watchman, and I want you to look off in the future. If you think things are bad now, if the nation don't repent, and it won't repent unless there's revival in the churches of America, that's what the future is. I'm telling you, saints, it's not too late for our country, but we've got to have a real Holy Ghost revival. How many are hungry for a Holy Ghost revival? How many are thirsty? He said, son of man, I've made thee a watchman under the house or the body of Christ today, and I'm not the only one. There's millions of them, I hope. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord at my mouth and give them warning for me. This ain't my word, Sister Frieda. This is from the Lord. The word warning means to gleam, to be enlightened, to be admonished, to shine, to teach, to give a warning from God. This message ain't my message. It's God's message. And God's saying it's not too late for America, but if America doesn't change, I'm telling you, this is just the beginning. If America doesn't, but saints of God, it ain't the first time a nation, and listen to me, God allowed Israel to fall over and over again to their enemies to bring them to repentance. And then when they repent, God will restore them. Saints of God, you cannot risk that happening. God's not above letting America fall to its enemies to bring us to our knees. But if we'll go to our knees voluntarily, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Saints, make no doubt, this nation is going to its knees. And either we do it voluntarily, seeking God, or God, listen, voice 18. Then when I say unto the wicked, the word wicked means morally wrong. We tend to think of wicked like axe murderers, rapists, drug addicts, criminals, but it means morally wrong. He said, and when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou giveth them not warning, nor speak it to warn them. Listen to me. I'm not doing this because I know I'm not going to win a popularity contest. I know there's probably some people in this room that's saying, Brother John's being political and the pulpit's no place for politics. I'm not being political. But if I preach something spiritual and it challenges your politics, it's not my problem. I'm telling you, I know this kind of preaching ain't going to make you friends with some folks, but this is the thing that's going to save this nation. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to hold me responsible. I don't know. I'm not responsible for what some other preacher preaches. I'm not responsible for what TV preacher preaches. I'm responsible for what I preach. And I'm going to... He said, when I sounded the word wicked, thou shalt surely die. America, if it doesn't change, is killing itself every single day. And thou giveth him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. If you'll do it, you'll save their life. Notice what it says here. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, that's moral perverseness, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Brother Stroop, I don't have a choice anymore. Either I preach this and warn people, or they, when they die, even though I didn't do it and I'm not guilty of it, their blood will be required of me, because God said, I gave you a scroll. I had you eat that word. Now I expect you to preach what I... Notice the next voice. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. If you warn him and he repents, you saved his life. If you warn him and he don't repent, he's going to die and go to hell. But at the same time, I'm not going to hold you accountable. Somebody, let me tell you something. The churches that aren't preaching the truth, the people that have a much bigger audience than I have, that's not calling this nation to repentance and not doing it, when they stand before God, they're going to give an account for what they have or have not done. I'm not judging them. That's not my job. But Brother Massey, let me tell you, what God's going to do this week in this revival is partially the result of prayers of some saints that have already gone on. Your precious mother who preached the gospel, Brother Horace, who, my God, are you hearing me? I remember people that attend this church that are now in heaven, and they prayed for a Holy Ghost revival to break out in this church, and this revival is partially in an answer to their prayers. Saints of God, notice the next voice. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness. I'm going to tell you something, saints of God. 10 years ago, there'd be no particularly Pentecostal preacher in America that would have to worry about getting up and say, I'm pro-life. He wouldn't even have to worry about it. 10 years ago, a preacher in a Pentecostal church would have never had to worry about standing up and saying, I'm against gay marriage. You wouldn't even have to give it a second thought, because nobody would have believed it. Saints of God, slowly but surely, in people's efforts to be everything to everybody, have become so seeker friendly. We can't mention these things because we might hurt somebody's feelings. We might offend them. Saints of God, are you seeing what's happening? Righteous men are turning from their righteousness and commit iniquity. That's anything morally perverse. And I lay stumbling blocks before him, he shall die. I'll warn him with the prelude judgment, like the droughts and the weather and the economy and the never-ending wars and the terrorist threats. You know why the terrorist threat's so great? It's not because our military's any weaker than it's ever been. We have enough nuclear capability to take out all of our enemies. The reason why the terrorists are not afraid of America anymore is we're morally corrupt. And the only reason why the countries of the world that were godless feared us is because they, even if they didn't realize it, saw the hand of God on this nation. It's how many want God's hand to come back upon America? God is choosing this church to bring it to pass, because thou hast given him warning. Because thou hast given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. He could have done a gazillion million things right, but if he gets caught up in the seeker-friendly junk and this apathy of today, then when he dies, he's not even going to go to hell, but everything he did right is no longer going to be even remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Do you see, saints of God? I want people to like me, but I can't bear the thought of going to bed tonight knowing, Mom, that I was called by God to preach this week, and that's what God wants to do through this nation, through this church, to turn, save this nation from destruction. It's not too late, but we're dangerously close. I cannot go to bed tonight knowing that I had a chance to warn people of what's about to happen, and I didn't do it. I can't do it. Are you hearing me? Oh, nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, and the righteous man, that righteous man sin not, if he's convicted about some of his thinking, if some the thinking of this world got in his mind, and he does not sin, he shall surely live. In other words, if you messed up in the past, fess up, and he'll live. God's a God of grace. God's a God of mercy, but he cannot forgive what you don't think needs to be forgiven. I'm telling you, saints of God, there's mindsets that are an abomination to God, and he won't tolerate it because he is warned. He'll live because someone warned him. Also, that thou hast delivered thy soul, so you're not responsible. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise and go forth into the plain, and I will talk to thee. That's where I went this morning. That's why I seemed a little bit confused when we were on the phone, Pastor, because God was speaking to me this morning. He took me somewhere and let me see something. There's hope for America, but we're perilously close. Do you understand? We don't have months. We have just mere weeks to get this thing going. God will show mercy if the churches of America start asking for mercy and start doing what God requires of us. God will turn this tide around. But and the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth in the plain, and I will there talk with thee. This is where all this begins. All this warning about the judgment. They're already in captivity. They're already in bondage, but God's about to show them something. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there. I saw the glory of the Lord. You can believe this or not believe this, but on the 39th day of the fast, I had the vision of God's glory and the seven places that would host the glory of God. Then on the 40th day of the fast, I saw the glory of the Lord. My wife will tell you, if she was here, she came in the room, she didn't know if I was dead or if I was alive. I wasn't breathing. My eyes were set. Maybe I was dead in this body, out of this body. I don't know. But I saw the glory of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, he's high and he's lifted up. His train does fill the temple, and he is able to turn this thing around. I said, he's able. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. He saw something. He said where and what he saw. Now listen to me. This is what God's going to do tonight. This morning, God's giving me direction. I'm going to obey God, and I know you want me to. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet. Listen to me, saints of God. Over the years, I've laid hands on people. Many of you have, and I've seen them fall out under the power of God. It's a real manifestation. It's a sign and wonder. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's great. But here, not only did he fall on his face when he saw the glory, but God entered into him and picked him back up. How many of you would like to be in a revival service when the Holy Ghost just started picking people up off the floor and sitting them back on their feet? Are you hearing? America's been knocked on her back, but God's ready to pick us back up again. Are you here? Are you here? Several years ago, I know it was 28 years ago, because my daughter Sarah was 2 years old. I was preaching in Fort Worth, Texas. People didn't have video cameras on their phones like they do today, or else I'm sure somebody would have filmed it. I'm not taking any credit for it, but the people in that audience, credible, retired ministers were in that audience, and they said the whole time I was preaching, my feet were 3 or 4 inches off the ground. I didn't know this, but they said the whole time, it was like my feet were off the ground the whole time I was preaching. I do know that many supernatural miracles took place in that service. Guys, I'm not taking any of the credit, but we ain't seen nothing yet. The rest will be the best. God can come upon you where you don't just get slayed out. How many want the Holy Ghost to come upon you and lift you back up again? How many would like to see that? Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me and said unto me, shut thyself within thy house. Nobody is going to see me outside church till Wednesday night. I'm not going to, because God said, shut myself away, because he wants to say something. What what did Ezekiel see while Israel was in bondage and the king had been taken prisoner? What did God show Ezekiel for the saving of the nation? He saw the glory of God. What did the glory of God say to Ezekiel? In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 27 and verse 20, thank you for your patience. And I saw as the color of amber, the bright reddish color, beautiful red, as the appearance of fire round about within, from the appearance of his loins even upwards. He saw somebody that was aglow in the color of amber. Now notice, and from the appearance of his loins even downwards. And as I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. Notice voice 28, as the appearance of a bow, it that is in the cloud in the day of a rain. You know that covenant that God made with Noah, even though the world had backslid and God had to bring a flood, God said, you know what? I promise you, Noah, I'll never do that again. I'll never destroy the world with a flood. And he put a rainbow in the sky. The color gold is divinity. The color green is justice and godliness and purity and righteousness and justice, a very just, that's what the green stands for. And then there's red, which is the blood. And then there's purple, which is the royal king. Aren't you glad in the midst of the bondage, in the midst of the judgment, when the nation had been taken captive, God gives them a promise of mercy. God gives them a promise of hope. God gives them a promise of the blood. God gives them a promise of Jesus Christ. God gives them a promise of a savior. God gives them a promise of a deliverer. God gives them. And as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of the rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This is the message from the Lord. I'm going to lay hands on people tonight, and there are going to be miracles tonight, because God said there's going to be miracles. But God's saying, if I can just find some churches to host my glory, preaching alone ain't going to do it. Programs ain't going to do it. My glory is the only thing that can turn a nation back to God. I've got mercy. I've got a plan of mercy. I sit upon a throne of mercy. When you see my rainbow in the sky, it reminds you that I'd rather show mercy than declare judgment. America is already having spontaneous judgment and localized judgment, and it's going to get worse. But if God can just find a remnant, if God can find a people that say, God, we want revival. We need revival. Our nation is depending on us. Let me tell you something, saints. God said that if he can find the church in those seven states, and he showed them to me clear as the nose of my face, and they'll do what he asked them to do, that he'll use those seven hot spots to save this nation from total destruction and annihilation. And I believe what the Lord has showed me. God's saying America's under judgment right now. Things are not going to get better in the natural. All the king's horses, all the king's men cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again. But God's saying, if I can find some churches that will humble themselves and seek my face and cry out for a Holy Ghost revival and repent for the apathy. And there are churches all around you that say you're crazy for having revival. People don't have revivals anymore. Well, they're wrong. There's an office of an evangelist, and there's a reason for that office. Listen to me, saints of God. It's not too late for America, but God is calling this church. God is calling you to humble yourself and seek your face, and you're going to repent for things that you didn't even do. We've got to repent for the abortion and the gay marriage. We've got to repent for turning our back on Israel. We've got to repent for the apathy and the seeker-friendly mentality that's in churches today, even though it's not in us. And if we'll do that and say, God, let me tell you something. I'm no longer responsible. God is asking you for the next 6 days. And if no one else responds, God says, I'll heal their land. I'll heal the land of the people that seek me. I'll heal your kids. I'll heal your grandchildren. I promise you, I'll bring them back. I'll bring the backslider back. I'll deliver them from their bondage. I'll deliver them from prison. I'll deliver them from drugs. I'll save them if you will give me the next 6 days of your life, saith the Lord. You will see my mercy. You will see my grace. Would somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise?